Well, good morning. Oh, I don't know about you, but I just kind of want to sit in that space and be still and behold this morning. We are entering into the Advent season where that really is a theme of that time. We are so thankful to have all of you here with us this morning. We know that there will be others joining online, especially because of the weather. And so while I had a choice to not go out into it yesterday, and so I think it was beautiful. I know that others didn't have that option and may not share my love for snow, but I did celebrate with my snowflake earrings this morning, so I'm happy it's here. But since the beginning of September, we have been working our way through the book of Philippians in our Sunday morning gatherings. So far, we have seen that in this letter from Paul, there is a life call to a life of humility, an encouragement to rejoice in the Lord and the things he has done. The idea that as believers we partner together for the sake of the gospel. And the admonition to follow the example of Paul's life as he seeks to model his life after the life of Jesus. We are now taking a pause from that letter. And next week we begin our Advent series that will be looking forward to the birth of Jesus and the importance of not just his birth, but his life. And how he lived among the earth as Emmanuel, God with us. So in this week, this in-between, we wanted to take some time to talk about what it looks like to live out a life of mission with this God that is with us. In this letter to the Philippians, we have seen a call to a certain way of life. We are encouraged to live a life that reflects the life of Jesus, just as Paul endeavors to do the same. This life that we are invited into when we accept this call to follow him is one that is of service to our Lord and to others. It is a life where we do not strive for power, but where, in humility, we work in relationship with one another. When we do this within our daily lives, we live out the love of Jesus to those around us. In these moments, we actively live into another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And it is within that kingdom that Paul encourages us to find our citizenship so that we live differently, so that we can disrupt some of the destructive patterns of this world for a way of life that is far more beautiful. And this is part of living a missional life that we are all called to live into. I started off by saying that we have received a call to a particular way of life, and I use that word intentionally this morning because I think it is important that we look at this idea of calling. It is an idea that and term that can be thrown around a lot in Christian circles, and I have seen it somewhat paralyze people from really living into the life that God could be inviting them into. I don't think I have met anyone that didn't have some level of desire for their life to matter, for there to be a purpose. Sometimes people have expressed a lot of clarity around what they think that is for them, and others I've known have had a lot of questions, and I have myself. In Christian circles, this desire for purpose and meaning can get wrapped up into this conversation around calling, and we can spend a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly it is that God is calling us into. I think sometimes that process is helpful and important, but other times we can get so stuck because we're waiting for a big, clear answer that actually may not come in the way that we are expecting it to, or it may take a long time to come. My experience in those moments, especially if it feels like God may not be answering, is that it's not because God is not answering my questions for clarity or direction, but likely it's because I'm asking the wrong questions or looking in the wrong places. However, I have also had experiences where I know a clear answer to what is next, what I am being called to, but those have come about in different ways and often not in the same way twice. The main thing, though, that has been consistent between these experiences is the deep, unexplainable sense of peace I have felt each time. I want to share two stories to explain a bit more of what I'm talking about. The first took place at the end of October when I was at the Greater Edmonton Missions Conference over at one of our sister churches, Hillview. One of our NAB missionaries that is in a season of moving out of a role in Cameroon was asked a question about what she would be doing next. She commented that she would likely be going into a teaching role because she had kept up her teaching credentials, And she noted that she had been a teacher before going to Cameroon. She was a teacher in Cameroon, and she would be a teacher now. One of the things that I think is really important about Christy's answer is the way she held out this example of being a teacher. I don't know all the details of her journey, but obviously to get there, she would have trained and used the skill set that she had in a school in the States. And then while being open to God's leading, she took that skill set to Cameroon for a season. And now she'll continue to use those same skills, likely back in the U.S. She was open to partnering with God to live a life for him. And for her, that did take her somewhere else, but I get the impression that even if it hadn't taken her overseas, she still would have seen her career as a way to impact others with the love of Jesus. There were some similar stories shared that day, and I appreciated that simple reminder that we are all called to live on mission, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, by using the gifts and the passions that God has given us. The second story is of my own personal journey with my passion for Ireland and Northern Ireland. You don't have to be around me for very long to know that island and its people are very dear to me. My passion for it, and I would say my sense of calling towards it, haven't always looked like I would have planned or expected. 17 years ago, I've made my first trip to Northern Ireland. It came at the end of my first trip to Europe and to Amsterdam. And I had figured at the time that I should attempt to meet my family members there because Europe was very far away and I never thought I would go back. My father had been born and raised in Belfast. Most of the family came to Canada in the 70s in the midst of a period known as the Troubles. But my oldest uncle had stayed behind with his family and we have many other family members there. While I was staying with my aunt and uncle, we took a drive throughout the north, and I had my first visit to the city of Derry or Londonderry. The old city was a walled city, and as we walked around the walls, there was a point towards the top of the wall where I remember stopping and looking out over the city. It's a city where the signs of division were and still are visible, and as I looked over the city, I knew deep within my core that I wasn't done there yet. I would be back. I had no idea what that would look like, but I knew I wasn't finished. I came home and in my own strength tried to figure out how I was going to get back. I applied to some YWAM programs. I applied to the University of Ulster to try and transfer my program. I was looking up study abroad options, and I either received no replies or just was not accepted. A couple months later, as I was starting to get more connected to the Young Adults Ministry at Brentview, it was announced that there would be a young adult retreat out at Camp Caroline, and the speaker for that weekend was Stephen McCready, who at that point was the National Director of Youth for Christ Northern Ireland. And a young adult mission team was being planned to go to Northern Ireland in the summer of 2008. So if we were interested in that, we had to be at the retreat. So obviously that intrigued me, given my experience that summer. And I was at camp for that very cold weekend in January, probably very similar to what we see outside this weekend. And on the Sunday morning of the retreat, Steve and I were able to talk, and the conversation that morning finished with a comment of, we needed to find a way to get me back to Ireland. I was on the team that summer, and then from 2010 to 2015, we took teams to work with YFC and I every summer. I made additional trips during that time and afterwards, and it has become a very significant place for me. Over these past 17 years, I have had a lot of conversations with God about why I care so deeply for a people and a place that I haven't actually been able to move to or be part of. I loved our partnership with Youth for Christ and so enjoyed and was stretched by taking our young adult teams there. But for at least the first few years of all of it, there was a struggle in me and a disappointment that others seemed to be living into my dream to be there more full-time, and I was left in Calgary. And there was a distinct moment somewhere in there, and I wish I could remember more of the specifics, but I remember the challenge that God gave me to love the city that I was in, to trust him with this desire of my heart, and to be faithful to what I was being asked to do in that season. And my heart for the city changed, and Calgary was no longer just the place where I felt like I was kind of biding my time until I could move on to a life elsewhere. But it was a city that I loved. and saw beautiful potential for. In leading teams and mentoring some of our young adults, I had the gift of watching others grow in leadership and pursue dreams that have led them all sorts of places. And there are still times when I wonder why I feel so intertwined with Ireland and wonder if maybe one day there is still more for me there. But I know that this invitation to love it dearly means that at this time that I can pray for it and support others who are living their lives on mission there. I share those stories to show that when we think about what it looks like to live a life on mission, what it might mean for us to live out God's call on our lives, it can look so different than what we might anticipate. There is a role we play in being faithful to think through what the skills and gifts are that you have to offer to the world to make it a more beautiful and abundant place. We all have things that we are good at and that we can offer to the world around us, whether through our vocations or our presence with our families and in our neighborhoods. And all of these things are important and matter to God's mission in the world. Partnering with God and others in our Christian community is so important as we do our best to live out the lives that God has called us to as his people. And I want to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about what that partnership can look like and some of the practical ways we do that here at Greenfield. According to an internet search for the definition of partnership, it can be defined as an agreement where parties agree to cooperate to advance their mutual interests. The partners in a partnership may be individuals, businesses, interest-based organizations, schools, governments, or combinations. Organizations may partner to increase the likelihood of each achieving their mission and to amplify their reach. It can also be described as a relationship resembling a legal partnership and usually involving close cooperation between parties, having specified and joint rights and responsibilities. All of the definitions I could find had a strong theme of business, which was a bit of a surprise to me. But there was also this general theme throughout them of mutuality and the desire to further each other's interests in a way that benefits both. There was this idea of participating and working together. When we look how this is viewed within the Bible, we come across the words of partner or sharer, people sharing in or participating in, or fellow workers. I also found as I was doing some work on this, that it can be seen as the idea of being in active fellowship with one another. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible describes fellowship as the essence of the Christian life, fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers in Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, we see how God drew his people into fellowship or a co-working relationship with himself. And we see this all the way into the New Testament, where Jesus brings along his disciples and then commissions them after the resurrection in Matthew 28, he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This idea of partnership has also been noted as we've been working our way through Philippians. And we can see it in other letters as well, where Paul talks about those who are co-workers or partners with him in the sharing of the gospel. So while there is a time and place for us to discern the gifts and passions that we have and how God may be inviting us to use them, it is important that we discern and work that out with other believers. First, Paul shows us that partnership involves encouragement. In Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6, it reads, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began this good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." In these verses, Paul acknowledges that the believers in Philippi have been his partners in spreading the good news. He continues on in this letter to talk about how they have a special place in his heart. And in verse 9, he prays that their love would overflow more and more, and that they would keep growing in their knowledge and understanding, so that they would understand the things that really matter, because that will impact the way that they live their life. I have often thought of this passage when I think about gospel or mission partnerships that I've had in my own life. I am so thankful for the people who have walked alongside me in ministry and life, and I'm thankful for the people that I have been able to come alongside. I am thankful for those of you within our community that I get to partner with in various initiatives. Our group leaders at our Halloween in the Lot event, Lana, Kaylee, Tyler, Josh, and Joyce were there and partnered with me as we were there and present in the community. Karen Miller and the hosts of volunteers that make up our Christmas and Easter neighborhood dinners, you make them possible. All of you as community, as we partner together for things like this Mustard Seed Initiative, for White Cross, OCC Shoeboxes, the teams that are going to the Mustard Seed, and I know there are many more. We have our volunteers partnering together for the Collective Kitchen as well. And we really can only do this if we do it together. So thank you. As we partner and become co-workers together, it is important that we share our stories with one another. In Philippians 1, verse 14, we see that our testimony can empower and embolden others to also share the good news of what God has done in their lives. Paul writes, "And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Everyone where Paul was imprisoned knew why he was there, including the palace guard. And as a result of that, others gained confidence and boldness to share. I get the sense from that that even in the midst of being in prison, Paul didn't stop talking about the good news of Jesus, and others saw that testimony and were more bold themselves." Then in Philippians 2, verses 17 through 18, we see that Paul talks about sharing life's joys together. And he writes, "But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God." And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. It can feel easier to partner with others when life is going well. But even when things are difficult, and in Paul's case, there was this possibility of death for doing the work that he'd been doing, he invites the believers in Philippi to share in his joy, and he will share in theirs. In the same way that as a congregation, in our large and small group gatherings, we celebrate the joys that we experience, like an engagement, the birth of a baby, graduations, new jobs, birthdays, retirements, we can also celebrate these types of moments with those we partner with in ministry. In my previous role, one of the great joys I had was being able to help our congregation celebrate these life joys in the lives of our ministry partners. Two of the women we supported got married to men that they were doing ministry with. One of our couples had a baby. Others graduated courses, started new ministries, or developed new ministry sites. It took relationships that had previously been a little more TD, and more or less about financial donations and prayer, which are both very important. But it took those relationships to something that helped our partners become a bit more real and 3D to our broader church community. Within this conversation around partnership, we also see the theme of mutual sending in our Philippians passages. Pastor Kaylee touched on this in her sermon a couple weeks ago, and we see it in chapters 2, verses 25 through 26. And there it's written, "Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him back because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill." The believers in Philippi had sent Epaphroditus to Paul, and now he is sending Epaphroditus back. I believe in both of his journeys, Epaphroditus would have been an encouragement to those that received him. It is important in missional partnerships that we engage with a sense of mutuality and benefit for each other. There is much research that has been done in the world of community development and missiology that speaks to the fact that if we have a desire to serve others, share the gospel with them, and potentially bring aid or assistance to a group of people, that the best way to do that long-term is by having the posture of with. When we look to do things for or to people, it can be quite disempowering to those on the receiving end and often makes them feel like they are less than. But as we come alongside people with the posture of with, people feel empowered, they feel seen, and they feel like they are part of the solution or a new path forward. We see examples of what this looks like to be with in initiatives like Abundant Communities, which was actually part of a strategy for the city of Edmonton for a time, and is now kind of still there, but with a different name. The idea behind the Abundant Communities model is that all people and communities have something good to offer. If you focus on what the assets of a community are, even if it may not be many, you empower and encourage a community to build on those assets for the betterment of those that live there. This is different from previous community development models that focus on the ills and issues within a community and then try to fix them. Abundant Communities doesn't ignore that there may be issues going on, but it looks for skills and strengths within the community to try and tackle those things together. It gives people dignity, and it helps to balance out differences of power so that people can partner together instead of possibly feel like they are serving beneath. We also see this desire for mutual sending and encouragement in the way that NAB has been developing sister church partnerships. One of the desires behind sister church partnerships is that long-term relationships would develop between two churches so that mission, especially international mission, is done in partnership with one another. Both churches go through training and a discernment process, and then a vision trip happens to determine if this really is the best fit for each community. From there, the conversation continues, and if short-term trips become a part of the plan, they are developed together. I believe that in the current partnerships that exist, we currently see that often it's one church in North America partnered with another church that's somewhere else where NAB already has roots and relationships, so places like Mexico, Romania, or Brazil. But I envision that under this model, that one day, we could have churches in Romania partnering with churches in Brazil. We could have churches in Uruguay working with churches in Hungary, which is really exciting. One of the things I have really appreciated about our movement towards sister church partnerships within the NAB is that it acknowledges more clearly that both communities have something to offer each other. And we've already seen stories within these partnerships where churches have sent teams to each other. I believe there's been internships that have gone both directions, and there is so much possibility for what churches can learn from each other and do together. Here at Greenfield, in the area of our mission partnerships, more and more, we are using this language of partners and partnerships. While we are encouraged and thankful to be able to be ministry partners with all of you, we also have the privilege of partnering with people and organizations within the city of Edmonton and around the world. And even before some of this partnership language has more specifically been used, I've seen that this has been part of how we have chosen to send out and support those who are on the poster in the foyer and the image that you'll see behind me. Many of our partnerships have come quite naturally as an extension of who we are as community. Cheryl Pickert and Cheryl Grunwald were both on staff at Greenfield. Cheryl Grunwald was on staff here before moving to Calgary, working at Grace Baptist Church, and then getting involved with Kidzana, and now she is part of the Action International team. Cheryl trains children's workers around the world and equips churches and their leaders on how to care well for their littlest members. The Pickerts were sent out from Greenfield and were in Southeast Asia for many years with Wycliffe and NAB before they came home, and now are based in Lower Mainland BC, where they are still involved with training up Bible translators around the world. And their impact, now that they're home, I think is even just stretching even further. Lindell Campbell-Requia was local to the Edmonton area. Her parents were connected to Greenfield, and she would come here when she was home. Lindell is also a former student and staff member at Taylor Seminary. Jim Hall and his family attended Greenfield for many years before he took his current role as pastor at Laurier Heights Baptist, which he does in part-time while he continues on with his role with House of Prayer Edmonton. And he's been a great support to us. The Mustard Seed has some of its roots within the ABA. White Cross, also connected with the ABA, has been supported by people within our Greenfield community Bert and Myrna have been particularly involved with it. Teresa has helped organizing some of our work bees. The Edmonton Native Healing Center has been born out of a relationship that Tyler has had with them, and it's a local relationship that we are excited to keep growing. All of the people and organizations we support throughout our connections to the North American Baptists and outside of it are partnerships that have been developed through relationships with people who have championed something or given their time to it. In all of these relationships, we desire to not only financially support them, but to be in relationship with them. We know that part of developing this relationship is helping our community here to learn more about them, which is one of the reasons why we included our missions board when we put up the three bulletin boards in the foyer. We know that we, as community, can't deepen our relationship with them if you don't know who they are. So if you haven't taken time yet to look over that poster, I would encourage you to do so. It lists our partners and shows roughly where they are in the world. Additionally, there are printouts on the Welcome Center that contain the information that's on the bulletin board, along with some of their pictures and websites so you can find out more information. We invite you to be praying for our partners. And if you would be interested in reaching out to them to encourage them or pray for them, their contact information can either be found on the listed websites, again, on this form, or please reach out to me. I have known most of our partners since my days on staff at Brentview, and I continue to be encouraged and inspired by them as they simply and faithfully live into the areas of passion and gifting that God has given them. As I've gotten to know them through the years, I have seen that their heart's desire is to live a life that reflects the story of Jesus, which is what we see as such a dominant theme in the book of Philippians. Over the last few months, we have seen Paul's invitation to follow the words and actions of Jesus, just as he endeavors to do the same. We have been reminded that we are invited to be co-laborers with God as he acts out his mission in the world around us, just as the early believers in Philippi were invited to do. As we follow Jesus and walk in the life of the callings he has given us, our life story should reflect the heart and the actions of Jesus to a world that is searching to know truth, hope, joy, and peace. I want to close us with the first and last verse of a song called The Summons. I can't remember how I originally came across it, but it is a song that resonated deep within my soul and continues to come to mind when I dwell on this idea of calling and partnering with God's mission in the world. It was written by a man named John L. Bell in 1987, and it is a reminder of the call that Jesus gives us to follow him, and how accepting the invitation will transform us if we let it. The first verse is an invitation from Jesus, and the final one is the response. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company, I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. When we say yes to Jesus and accept the invitation to follow him, we are invited to live and grow in him and have him transform our lives. We are invited to say yes to those nudges that he places on our hearts, to hold our hopes and dreams and lives open-handedly so that we can follow where he will lead us, whether that's to working on staff at a school in Edmonton, pursuing a business venture, following a career path in the nonprofit world, being a person of joy in the world of retail, especially around the holiday season, or taking a short-term trip or pursuing a vocation that allows you to be part of what God is doing in the global church. As we follow those invitations, it is vital that we do so in partnership, not just with God, but with others. There are partnerships that we'll get to do with each other here at Greenfield, and others that will connect us beyond the ministry that happens in this place. As someone that was recently sent out by Greenfield to pursue a venture that they felt God was inviting them into, I asked Shane, Caitlin, Kidd to share some thoughts on what partnership meant for them, and I will close off this part of our service with these words. Shay wrote that partnership, especially in the context of embarking on a ministry-related trip, is vitally important. Reflecting on the preparation process for their trip to Southeast Asia, they felt that they could say that the connection felt through partnership was truly one of the most touching experiences of their lives. Being part of a community as deeply rooted in God's mission as Greenfield, we expected support. However, the amount of support we received far surpassed anything we could have ever imagined. We learned that partnerships within the global people of God are an integral part of gospel mobilization to the world. Partnerships we have seen firsthand form personal relationships, which in turn become vessels for God's will to be done. I'll invite the team forward.